ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 3। यमराज इंस्ट्रक्ट्स हिज मैसेंजर्स। टेक्स्ट 16। यम वै न गोभिः मनसा अशुभिः वा हृदा गिरा वा अशुभृतः विचक्षते आत्मानम् अन्तःहृदि सन्तम् आत्मनाम् चक्षुः यथा एव आकृतयः ततः परम्। यं वै न गोभिर्मनसा शुभिर्वा हृदा गिरा वा सुभृतो विचक्षते आत्मानमन्तर्हृदि सन्तमात्मनाम् चक्षुर्यथैवाकृतयस्ततः परम्। यं वै न गोभिर्मनसा शुभिर्वा हृदा गिरा वा सुभृतो विचक्षते आत्मानमन्तर्हृदि सन्तमात्मनाम् चक्षुर्यथैवाकृतयस्ततः परम्। यं वै न गोभिर्मनसा शुभिर्वा हृदा गिरा वा सुभृतो विचक्षते आत्मानमन्तर्हृदि सन्तमात्मनाम् चक्षुर्यथैवाकृतयस्ततः परम्। यं वै न गोभिर्मनसा शुभिर्वा आत्मानमन्तर्हृदि सन्तमात्मनाम् चक्षुर्यथैवाकृतयस्ततः परम्। यं वै न गोभिर्मनसा शुभिर्वा हृदा गिरा वा सुभृतो विचक्षते आत्मानमंतर हृदय संतमात्मनाम चक्षुर्यथैवा कृतयस्ततः परम् यं वै न गोभिर्मनसा सुभिर्वा सुभृतो विचक्षते आत्मानमंतर हृदि संतमात्मनाम चक्षुर्यथैवा कृतयस्ततः परम् गोभिर्मनसा सुभिर्वा तदा गिरा वा सुभृतो विचक्षते मानमन्तर्हृदि संतमात्मनाम यथैवा कृतयस्ततः परम् माताजी ओके चल आत्मानमंतर्हृदि संतमात्मनाम चक्षुर्यथैवा कृतयस्ततः परम् यम हुम वै इंडीड न नॉट गोभिः बाय द सेंसेस मनसा By the mind, asubhihi, by the life breath, va, or, hrida, by thoughts, gira, by words, va, or, asubhritaha, the living entities, vichakshate, see or know, atmanam, The super soul, antah hridi, within the core of the heart, santam, existing, atmanam, of the living entities, chakshuh, the eyes, yatha, just like, eva, indeed, akritayaha, The different parts or limbs of the body. Tataha. Than them. Param. Higher. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. As the different limbs of the body cannot see the eyes. The living entities cannot see the Supreme Lord, who is situated as the Super Soul in everyone's heart. Not by the senses, by the mind, by the life air, by thoughts, within the heart, or by the vibration of words, can the living entities ascertain the real situation of the Supreme Lord. Purport. Although the different parts of the body do not have the power to see the eyes direct the movements of the body's different parts. The legs move forward because the eyes see what is in front of them. And the hand touches because the eyes see touchable entities. Similarly, every living being acts according to the direction of the Super Soul who is situated within the heart. As the Lord Himself confirms in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text 15, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mattah smriti jnanam apohanam cha. I am sitting in everyone's heart. and giving directions for remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Ishvarah sarva bhutanam hriddeshir junatishthati. The Supreme Lord, as a super soul, is situated within the heart. The living entity cannot do anything without the sanction of the super soul. The super soul is acting at every moment, but the living entity cannot understand the form and activities of the super soul by manipulating his senses. The example of the eyes and the bodily limbs is very appropriate. If the limbs could see, they would walk forward without the help of the eyes. But that is impossible. Although one cannot see the super soul in one's heart through sensual activities, his direction is necessary. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I'm very happy to be back in Sri Radharas Vihari Temple again. It is a pleasure to be here always and to see so many nice devotees gathered for the morning class. We are on Canto 6, Chapter 3. Yamaraj instructs his messengers. Yamaraj is speaking about the glories of the Supreme Lord, the glories of his devotees, and he also points out in this verse how the living entities are always dependent upon the Supreme Lord. They are never independent. He gives a very picturesque example of the relationship that the limbs of the body have with the eyes. The limbs perform different functions, but they cannot do so until they are guided by the eyes. The limbs themselves cannot see the eyes. The eyes can see the limbs, and the eyes will direct the limbs to act in certain ways. But the limbs cannot independently act. So similarly, Yamaraj is explaining that the super soul, the Supreme Lord as a super soul in everybody's heart, is directing everybody's actions. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mattah smriti jnanam apohanam cha. So seated as a super soul, the Lord is the eternal witness of everything we do. Upadrashtanumanta cha bharta bhokta maheshwaraha paramatmeti chapyukto dehesmin purusha paraha. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that there is another Purusha apart from the Jiva or the spirit soul. Dehesvin Purushaha Paraha. And this Purushaha is supreme. He is a supreme enjoyer seated within the body. Dehesmin, that means inside the body. And he is called the Paramatma because he is supreme. Because he is the Purushaha Param, Param Purush. Therefore he is called the Paramatma. He is the super soul, not just the soul. And he is the Upadrashta, he is the witness, the overseer. He is the Lord and Master, the witness of everything that we do. The Upanishads speak about the soul and the super soul being like two birds on the branch of a tree, where one bird representing the spirit soul is busy enjoying the fruits of the tree, meaning the different action, the reactions of the actions it has performed previously. And the other bird representing the super soul is merely quietly witnessing everything. So without the help of the super soul, we can actually do nothing. We cannot even lift our fingers. If we want to sleep, if the super soul doesn't permit us, we will not get sleep. And if we want to wake up, if the super soul doesn't permit, we will not wake up ever. So for every little thing at every moment in our life, we are guided by the super soul. Without the super soul's direction, it is not possible for us to act in this world. So the recognition of the fact that the super soul exists is very important. The super soul sees before we see. The super soul hears before we hear. The super soul smells before we smell. The super soul tastes before we taste. The super soul touches before we touch. In other words, we cannot experience anything unless the super soul has first experienced it. Ultimately, he is the real experiencer of everything. There are some people who put forward, some philosophers who put forward the idea that reality is actually subjective. Subjective means that it depends on the individual's perception. So they extend this argument or logic to say that the world, we are able to describe the world as it is around us because we are here to see it and think about it and talk about it. But if none of us were existing here, would this world exist? Would this world be there? Does the world exist independent of us who are the observers? So some of them say no. So they say the world exists only in the imagination of the observer. But the fact is that there is an ultimate observer. Even if no living entities were present, the super soul or the spirit, supreme lord, is present always before the creation, during the creation, and after the creation. So he is the constant witness or the observer of everything. So there is never a time when there is no witness to anything. So the reality is objective, but there is something subjective. That is the perception of the different living entities about reality will vary depending on the consciousness of the living entity. The conditioned living entity has one type of perception about, let us say, the material energy. Whereas the liberated soul will see the material energy differently. Even amongst different types of conditioned souls, there are different visions or ideas about the material energy. So therefore perceptions of the reality may vary. So that is subjective. Perceptions are subjective, depending on one's level of consciousness. But the reality is what it is. One of the first lessons we learn in the Bhagavad Gita is that this material world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam, which means it is an abode of misery and it is temporary. But then we have a great personality like Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, who says, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. He says this world is full of bliss. He is talking of this world, same world in which we live. So which is the reality? Is this world full of bliss? That means Lord Krishna is lying? Or is Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur mistaken and he is in some kind of illusion? So what is the answer? The answer is both are true. As far as Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur is concerned, he is situated on the topmost platform of spiritual consciousness. He sees nothing separate from Krishna. So therefore, because he is seeing the connection always with Krishna, he is always Krishna conscious. So everything around him is blissful, because Krishna consciousness is blissful. When we remove the connection to Krishna, then it becomes miserable. So when Krishna says that this material world is a place of misery, he intends this to mean for the conditioned souls who tend to see this material world as separate from Krishna. And then there is the situation of those who are in the intermediate position, like sadhakas, like us. So we sometimes feel it's happy, feel the world is full of happiness, sometimes it's very miserable. So we may fluctuate depending on our consciousness at a given point in time. So there is always a witness. There is never a time when there is no observer who exists. In fact, we cannot even understand ourselves without understanding the Supreme Lord. In one place, Srila Prabhupada gives a very simple but beautiful analogy to explain the relationship between God-realization and self-realization. He says that if a person wants to see himself in the mirror, first he has to see the sun, meaning the sunlight. Then he can see himself in the mirror, meaning that unless there is light, how can I see my reflection in the mirror? If everything is pitch dark, I may be standing in front of the mirror, but I will not see myself in the mirror. But if there is light, then I can see the reflection. So first I must see light. I must see the sun. Then I can see myself. If I don't see the sun, then I cannot see myself. So the sun is compared to Krishna, and the person who is seeing the reflection in the mirror is compared to the living entity, the soul. So just as the person standing in front of the mirror cannot see himself until he sees the sun, similarly we cannot realize ourselves unless we realize Krishna. In other words, unless we are God-realized, self-realization cannot be complete. Without realization of Krishna, our self-realization is incomplete. Therefore, those who are on the path of jnana, jnana yoga, and who follow the principle of aham brahmasmi, I am the spirit soul, which we also accept. We are spiritual living beings. But they do not go further to understand the personal nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they think that the Absolute Truth is simply impersonal. So their understanding of the Absolute Truth, or even of themselves, is limited. They just understand that they are spiritual beings. But they do not go to the next step, that where has that spiritual being come from? How is that spiritual being related to the Absolute Truth? So as devotees of the Lord, we understand, following Bhagavad Gita, Mamayavamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha, that we are eternal fragmental parts and parcels of Krishna. The word Sanatana indicates eternality. So the living entity is eternally the part and parcel of Krishna. And being the part and parcel, it must have a relationship of love and service towards the Supreme. So this is complete knowledge. So when we speak of the part serving the whole, we must understand what the part is, we must understand what the whole is, and we must understand the nature of the relationship between the two. So therefore, there are only three realities. There is Bhakta, there is Bhagavan, and there is Bhakti. Bhakta is the devotee, Bhagavan is Krishna, and Bhakti is a relationship between the Bhakta and Bhagavan. So this is complete self-realization. If I simply understand myself as a spirit soul, it is not wrong, but it is incomplete because I do not understand the context in which I exist, that I am part and parcel of someone. So similarly, here also we see that nothing happens without the intervention or an understanding of the Supreme Lord. Anyone who desires to move ahead in spiritual life must bring in the conception of the super soul acting in one's life at every moment. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see a wonderful dialogue between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After Mahaprabhu has heard the Bhattacharya's explanations for 7 days on Vedanta in complete silence, then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being puzzled at Mahaprabhu's silence, asks him if he has understood. It seems that he hasn't understood because he has not said a word. When Mahaprabhu replies that, "I have understood Vedanta, but I don't understand your explanations of the Vedanta, which are like a cloud that cover the real meaning of the Vedanta." And then Mahaprabhu begins speaking about the real meaning of Vedanta. And in the course of that discussion, he rebukes or admonishes Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for having put forward the idea that the Absolute Truth is ultimately impersonal. And he quotes from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, which is, and this verse is very popularly quoted by those who follow the path of Jnana Yoga, those who are on the path of impersonalistic belief. Apani pado javano grahita pashyati chakshu sa shrinoti akarnaha. So this refers to the Absolute Truth, which means apani pado. Pani means hands, pada means feet, a means without. So the Absolute Truth is without hands and feet. Javano grahita, but still he accepts the sacrificial offerings. He goes to the place where the sacrifice is being performed with his feet, and then he accepts the offerings with his hands. So javano grahita means he does accept. Pashyatya chakshuhu, pashyati, he sees. But a chakshuhu, even though he doesn't have eyes. Shrinoti akarnaha, shrinoti means he hears, but he's akarnaha, without ears. So therefore the Mayavadis, or those who are the impersonalists, take this to mean that the Supreme Lord is an impersonal entity. He is just some light. Because it says here, he has no hands, he has no legs, no eyes, no ears. Therefore he doesn't have a personality, doesn't have a form. But Mahaprabhu explains that this verse from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad doesn't indicate that the Lord has no senses. Whenever there is a negation of this sort in the Vedic literature, Mahaprabhu explains, it shows not that the Lord has no senses, but that He has no material senses. That actually He has spiritual senses, spiritual hands, spiritual feet, spiritual ears, spiritual eyes. This is in order to distinguish the Lord's senses from our senses. So the Lord is actually the Supreme Person, and He is endowed with complete senses. But His senses are different from our senses, because our senses are covered by the material energy. Therefore, we are called conditioned living entities. But the Supreme Lord's senses are never covered by the material energy at any time or under any circumstances. So the Supreme Lord's senses are always spiritual. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, when the Mahaprakash Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going on, when Mahaprabhu is bestowing unlimited mercy on His associates, and He calls out to them one by one, and then gives them abundant mercy, and fulfills whatever desires they have. He asks, "What do you want?" "My uncle is not a devotee, please make him a devotee." "Alright, done." "What do you want?" "Okay, yes, done." So one by one He's calling out to everybody, and then He calls out to Advaita, Acharya. And He says, "Advaita, do you remember the time when you were fasting and I fed you, when you were distraught with grief at not being able to understand a particular verse of the Bhagavad Gita?" You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna who has come in the guise of a devotee, and therefore whenever anyone addressed Him as Vishnu or God or Krishna, He would close His ears and say, "Vishnu, Vishnu." Never make that mistake. It is very offensive to consider a living entity to be the Supreme Lord. So this was His general behavior. However, on some special occasions, like the Mahaprakash Leela, for example, He would demonstrate His Godhood. He would openly proclaim His absolute position. So this was one of those occasions. So He says, "Advaita, many, many years ago, you were fervently praying for Me to appear, because you were grief-stricken to see the condition of the world. And you kept calling out to Me, and I heeded your request and I have appeared here." In those days, every day you would speak on the Bhagavad Gita, and you would give devotional purports to everything. However, unfortunately, not many people would come to hear you, because they were not interested in the path of devotion to Me. At one time, you came across this one verse from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 14. And you were not able to understand the real meaning of this verse. And instead of finding fault with the Lord, you actually succumbed to grief and you gave up all enjoyment. So I appreciate very much that you did not find fault with Me for having spoken such a verse. Rather, you appreciated that you were not in a position to understand it. Therefore, you began to fast and you lay down in grief, thinking, "I can't understand this verse." And then I came to you and I said, "Advaita, do not lament, do not grieve. If you fast, then I will fast. If you are distressed, then I will be distressed. I have explained to you all the verses of the Bhagavad Gita except this one. Now I will explain this verse to you." And then he quoted the verse, "Sarvatah pani padam tat sarvatokshi shikshiromukham sarvatah shrutimalloke sarvam avritya tishthati." In the 13th chapter in this verse, text 14, Krishna is describing the super soul. And he says, Sarvatah Pani Padam Tat. Tat meaning that super soul. His Pani and Padam, that is the hands and feet, are everywhere. Sarvatah. Sarvatah Pani Padam Tat. Sarvato Kshi. Akshi means eyes. Shiro. Shiro means head. Mukham means face. Everywhere are his eyes, his face, and his head. Sarvatah Shrutimal Loke, his ears are also everywhere. Sarvam Avritya Tishtati, in this way the Lord pervades the entire creation. Now this is a verse that is very similar to that Shvetashvatara Upanishad verse, Apani Pado Javano Grahita. It is liable to be misunderstood. So a Mayavadi would most likely interpret this verse to mean that if the Lord has his hands and feet and eyes and mouth everywhere, then where is the question of a form? Where is the question of a personality? So Advaita Acharya, who was trying so hard to establish the devotional conclusions in the hearts of the people at large, was finding himself perplexed for an explanation to this verse. So then Mahaprabhu explained to him. He said, look, this verse indicates that I, the Supreme Person, am omnipresent by virtue of my expansion as a super soul. This doesn't mean that I am not a person. And then Mahaprabhu explained that at length. And Advaita Acharya was extremely satisfied. And then he ate. And then Mahaprabhu, and the Krishna, Mahaprabhu says, and I was very happy. Do you remember that, Advaita? But Advaita did not remember. So anyway, the purport of this verse really is that when such verses appear, that the Lord has no hands, no feet, no ears, no eyes, or that his eyes, hands, legs, feet are everywhere, we can understand that to mean that through the super soul, the Lord is present everywhere. He is in the heart of every living entity. He is also in every atom. Therefore, there is nothing that the Lord cannot see or hear and do. In the purport to the next verse in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada gives a very simple and beautiful analogy. He says, when we offer a flower to Krishna, in accordance with the Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam verse, Krishna says, Ashnami Prayatatmanaha, that I accept it. So if Krishna is far away in Vaikuntha, how can he accept that flower that we are giving here in Bombay or in this earth planet? Unless he has hands that can receive the flower here, how can he accept it there? That means the Lord has hands that can actually accept our offering. In the Kumbh Mela, many of you may have been there, usually there are all types of sadhus who come. And there are many of these yogis, nagas, and so on. So there was one lady who was on the first floor of one of the dharamshalas in that site. And there were huge crowds of people walking towards the bathing site. This was for many years ago. And she had come out for some purpose onto the balcony of that building. And as she looked down, she saw this man who was a yogi with matted locks of hair and beard, and he was walking along the road. He was on the road and she was up on the first floor. And then he extended his hand and his hand came forward from the road right up to her as she stood on the first floor. And he says, Mata Bhiksham Dehi. Mother, please give me some alms, some charity. And the hand was extending from the road all the way up to the first floor. We can imagine the condition of that poor lady. So in any case, this is what an ordinary yogi can do. He can extend his hands and receive something, you know, at this distance. Srila Prabhupada used to say that the yogis sometimes, they can, sitting here in India, in Calcutta, they can pluck a pomegranate fruit in Kabul. Kabul is in Afghanistan, a couple of thousand miles away. So sitting in Calcutta, the yogi can procure easily a pomegranate from there. So by acquiring certain mystic powers, which are material, if a yogi can do such a thing, can extend his hand thousands of miles to take one fruit, why cannot the Supreme Lord, who is Yogeshwar, the master of all mystics, the ultimate yogi, and whose senses are spiritual, and who is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, why can he not extend his hand from Goloka Vrindavan and take our flower that we offer here in Bombay? And then he quotes this word, Goloka eva nivasatya khilatma bhuto, that even though he is there in Goloka Vrindavan, but he is still within every atom here in this world. So therefore Krishna receives with his hands. He walks with his feet. Elsewhere, Prabhupada says also that Jagannath, he accepts with his hands 56 offerings 8 times a day in Jagannath Puri. How can he accept it if he has no hands? Or he walks also in the Rath Yatra, he moves. So in other words, the Lord, by his expansion, the super soul, manifests his divine transcendental senses and hears, sees, touches, tastes, accepts, gives, and the living entity follows. The living entity can only follow behind the Lord and his direction. The living entity has no independence to do anything without the Lord's assistance and his direction. So that is the sum and substance of the message that Yamaraj is giving to his assistants, the Yamadutas. Today also happens to be the disappearance day anniversary of Sri Lochan Das Thakur. Lochan Das Thakur was an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was born some 30 plus years after Mahaprabhu was born in Bengal, in the Katwa district, Birbhum district in the Katwa area. And he is most famous for his book, the Chaitanya Mangala. He was born in a family of Vaidyas, physicians. His father's name was Kamalakar. His mother's name was Sadanandi. And right from his very childhood, he exhibited a very spontaneous attachment for Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his devotees. He would love to spend his time hearing about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and participating in devotional activities. In childhood itself, he was married, as was the custom in those days. But then the boy and the girl would stay with their respective parents till they grew up. And after growing up, the girl would go to the husband's house. So Lochan Das Thakur, in accordance with the custom of those times, was married. And because he was exhibiting such tremendous devotion and renunciation, his parents became worried that we've already married him, and if he becomes renounced, what's going to happen? So they approached his guru, Narahari Sarkar Thakur. And Narahari Sarkar then asked Lochandas Thakur to go and visit his wife's house, which was in another village. Now it was many, many years since he had gone to that house. So he reached that village and he didn't know where to find the house of his wife. He had not seen her because only when they were small children they had seen each other. Now many, many years had passed. So he saw a young girl on the road and he addressed her and said, "Mother, can you tell me the name of such and such?" He named his father-in-law. So she said, "Yes, the house is over there." So he went there and later discovered that the girl he had met on the street was actually his wife. So he said, "Well, I've addressed her as mother, now what can I do?" But he was already married to her. So then he lived with her in that spirit. A very extraordinary situation that came up. And he continued to live like that. That is how his life went by. Narahari Sarkar Thakur was very pleased with Lochandas Thakur's devotion. He blessed him very greatly and he taught him various styles of kirtan, and he ordered him to write a biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lochandas Thakur set himself to this task. He studied Murari Gupta's Kadachas and his book, the Chaitanya Charita, which was in Sanskrit. This was one of the most original, one of the earliest recordings of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The notes of Swarup Damodar Goswami and the diary of Murari Gupta, the Kadachas of Murari Gupta, these were the two primary sources of information for Mahaprabhu's pastimes, based on which all other books, be it the Chaitanya Bhagavat or the Chaitanya Charitamrita, have been composed. So, Murari Gupta's Chaitanya Charita was already in existence, but that was in the Sanskrit language. So he translated that and wrote his book called the Chaitanya Mangal in ordinary vernacular Bengali language, which the common man would understand very easily. And he wrote it in a certain meter, which is called a Panchali meter. There are various types of Panchali meters. So there are five different types of meters within that. That's why it's called Panchali. And it can be sung or recited in different ways. So he wrote it in that meter and he covered most of the pastimes of the Lord. And interestingly, the Vrindavan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagavat was also existing at that time, somewhere around the same time. And it is said that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Lochandas Thakur were the ones who changed, or rather gave the name Chaitanya Bhagavat to Vrindavan Das Thakur's book. Vrindavan Das Thakur had originally titled his book as Chaitanya Mangal. But when Lochandas Thakur wrote his book, he and Kaviraj Goswami changed the name of Vrindavan Das Thakur's book to Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Kaviraj Goswami's logic in doing that was, as he declares in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Vrindavan Das Thakur is our Vyasadev. He has been empowered by Vyasadev. Because Srimad Bhagavat has been compiled by Vyasadev, therefore it is befitting that the compilation of Mahaprabhu's pastimes by Vrindavan Das Thakur should be called Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Lochandas Thakur's book, Chaitanya Mangal, continued to be known as Chaitanya Mangal. Mangal means auspicious. So this book contains the all auspicious narration of the transcendental pastimes of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Now interestingly, because Narahari Sarkar Thakur his spiritual master, was a very intimate associate of Mahaprabhu. So the Chaitanya Mangal elaborates in great detail on the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but somehow there is not sufficient mention of Nityananda Prabhu. The pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu were not mentioned so much in detail, like Chaitanya Bhagavat does, or Chaitanya Charitamrita does. So, Lochandas Thakur became a little fearful that I have omitted to glorify Nityananda Prabhu. So he tried to make up for that deficiency. So he wrote several songs glorifying Nityananda Prabhu. And the most famous ones among them are like Parama Karuna Pahudui Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra. Another song was Nitai Guna Mani Amar Nitai Guna Mani. Another song was Akrodha Paramananda Nityananda Ram. So these songs were compiled by Lochandas Thakur in glorification of Nityananda. So today is his disappearance day, and we can pray at his lotus feet that he may kindly bless us with pure devotion and attachment to the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radharas Bihari and Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. Sri Lochandas Thakur ki jai. Sri Lochandas Thakur Tirubhav Divas ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Hare Krishna. It's already 9:10, so I think we've crossed the time limit, so I think we won't have questions now. Time for breakfast for everyone. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.